Romans chapter 8, and I want to give some verses primarily to those of you who have been baptized and to the rest of us here. Just two verses. I want you to read them together with me. You need to take your pew Bible if you don't have the NIV version. Romans chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 28 and 29. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. I want you to read them aloud together with me. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. You all there yet? Here we go. Let's read it together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Let's read them again. I want you to remember them. If you haven't already memorized them, these are great verses to memorize. One more time, let's read it together. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. I want to take verse 28 and go backwards with you on it. First, this verse talks about what purpose we are called for. The question, of course, might be asked, well, what purpose is it? What is God's design? What is His intention for us? People need to do things with some purpose in mind. And it says here that He called people according to His purpose. The answer to the question is found in the next verse. In brief, the purpose of God is to make people like Jesus. You catch that? The job that God has is that He wants us to have Jesus as our older brother. He wants to have a family. And what God is about is His purpose in life is to populate the United States, the world, with people who look like Jesus. Or in other words, He wants the invisible Jesus to be made visible in the lives of Jesus sorts of people. And you see, it takes a whole lot of those people to reflect the image of who Jesus is. So His purpose is He wants folk going around to look like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to have their whole disposition to be Jesus kind of people. In the 60s, of course, that was the case. Folks sought to mirror it by the way they looked. I remember I had a beard once. I know it's hard to believe, but I did. I even had more hair back then. I still can grow the beard, but it would make the top look bad. You know how that is. But Jesus people back in the 60s wanted to look like Jesus. They walked around with sandals and long clothes and beards and such. And they thought by looking like it, maybe they were. We've gone a little bit beyond that. We want people to look like Jesus in terms of the way they think, the way they feel, and the way they act. And that's God's purpose. So friends, those of you who have been baptized today, the cool thing about it is God has a design, and His design is to make you like Jesus. That's His purpose. From the very beginning of the Garden of Eden, God made man and woman in the image of Himself so that He could have fellowship and communion with them. That's the whole purpose of God in the world. He wants to have Jesus as our older brother and we His younger brothers and sisters. I want to ask you, are you one of Jesus' kids? Are you a kid of the kingdom? Do you identify that Jesus' purpose, God's purpose in coming and dying is to make you into what He is like? That's what this text says. The purpose is to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. Now, thankfully, that does nothing to do with what we look like physically, but has everything to do with the way we respond. So one of the interesting things that's happened in the 90s is folk have gone around wearing these little bracelets, WWJD. Those of you that are under 18, tell me what WWJD stands for. Together? And that's exactly what this verse says. What would Jesus do? So that the nature of our conformity is that whenever we are to arrive at any situation, if it's in school and we're tempted to cheat, we look at the bracelet and we say, what would Jesus do? No cheating. Those of you a little bit older and you take marriage vows and life goes pretty south pretty quick because you realize that this beautiful person you married is no longer particularly beautiful early in the morning or late at night, you ask the question, what would Jesus do? And I tell people who are tempted to think about divorce, are you on the cross yet? Because men, we're supposed to love as Jesus loved. And that meant you die for your wife. What would Jesus do? Because God's purpose, whether we're in school, whether we're married, whether in work, is to conform us to the image of who Jesus is. That's his purpose. Those are the kind of people that God's about. Now, God has a plan for that. Look at what it is. His plan is to work all things in all things for our good. Now, note. Some of you have the King James Version of the Bible, and there's a mistranslation in this verse. It says, in all things work together for good. That's not what's at stake here. It's not somehow or other that things are getting better and better, and we have this Pollyanna attitude that all things somehow or other will work out good. That's not what Paul's saying. He's not saying that all things are good. In fact, there's some pretty ugly things in our world. There are some things that are pretty sad. I got a call this morning from someone who said their husband died last night. That's not a good thing. But the verse does say that God has a plan. His plan is in conformity with his purpose, and that in all the circumstances of life, God is at work for our good. God is the agent of our good, and he is the one who conspires all things, even the good and the bad things, so that good will come to us. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that. I've been a parent, still am a parent. Sometimes I say things that are hard for my kids to hear. I recognize it'll put them through a tough time, but I do it for their good. God is similarly a parent. He's our Heavenly Father, and God conspires the events of life, both good and evil, for the good of those who know him and love him. And have been called according to his purpose. Now, the result of that is it gives us an incredibly Christian perspective on life. Look at the verses again. What are the first two words? First three words. Say them with me. And we know. You know, friends, being a Christian means you're not an agnostic. Being a Christian is somebody who has a surety that you know that something's true. Sometimes we Christians, because we know things, come around feeling pretty arrogant about what we know. This verse cancels out any arrogance because God's the one that's doing stuff, not us. In fact, sometimes we try and give God a helping hand to make things even worse. This verse says, and we know, we are sure that in all the events and circumstances of life, God has called people according to his purpose, and in those circumstances, he's at work doing something for our good, even the things that are tough, that are hard. So those of you who have been baptized recognize that life's not always going to be easy. Those of us that have been on the way recognize that life is filled with foibles, both internally and externally, and that sometimes life doesn't go the way we want, but we know that in all things, God is at work. He's at work. And that comprises God's purpose. He wants to make us like Jesus. It comprises his plan. God is at work making those things come together so that purpose will be achieved. And it gives us an enormously wonderful perspective on life. So what happens is when life starts to go south, when things start to get difficult, we start to look out and we say, Lord, we know that you're doing something for our good. Isn't that amazing? It may not feel good right now, but we know that that's true. Why? Because this verse says so. Now, Paul will go on to say what that does for us. You got to come back next week. I'm delightful for this baptism. It's much more interesting watching folk getting baptized than watching me speak. But if you want to find the end of the story, you've got to come back next Sunday, where that has an impact on the way in which we live our lives. That's the rest of Romans chapter 8. But I want to leave you with this thought this morning. Have you been called according to that purpose and plan? Has God called you? It says in the text, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called. maybe this morning it's the first time that somehow or other in your life you recognize that there's something greater than you in your world. And that God is calling, is stirring you, causing some questions, some doubt in your mind. And I'm going to close by having us pray together. And it may well be on this baptism Sunday for the first time you would say, oh Lord, I don't have what these folk had in here. I never consciously at any point in my life said, Lord, would you be the savior of my life? I can't do life on my own. This guy's talking about God's purpose to make me like Jesus. That's not my purpose in life, but I need that. What a great day to invite Jesus to become that Lord and that Savior. We know this, friends. It shouldn't make us arrogant, but humble. It shouldn't make us doubtful, but believing. We know this because God has called us to a plan and a purpose. Each of the folk who got baptized today have a baptismal certificate that's signed by at least Brian, who officiated the baptism. Then there's a bunch of lines on it. We encourage you to act as witnesses to their baptism. Sign on saying, I saw you do it. I saw you declare publicly that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. I want to be a witness to that effect. But I want to know that if any of you in this room for the first time, invited Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of your life, would you come talk to me? I would like to witness that fact as well. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the knowledge that we have from your word and from your work in the lives of people, that you are still at work in the circumstances of life. Thank you, Father, that you're the one who is at work to conform those people you call to be like Jesus. Thank you for how we have seen that at work in the lives of these folk this morning, already have been baptized, and those who will be baptized in the next hour. We're grateful that you take all different kinds of people, men, women, old, young, all different sorts, and are at work in all the events of life to bring them to know you. Now, Father, by your Spirit, I pray that you would strive with the hearts and minds of folk who are in this room. If there are those here who have never deliberately and intentionally invited you to come into their life, would you do that right now? Encourage them to submit to you as the God of their lives. We're grateful for your goodness in bringing us here. This is a joyous day. We're glad for being able to see your hand at work. We commit ourselves to you for the rest of the day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.